Amen. Well, because Christ is a great Savior, and He has worked in the hearts of Jack and Linda Stillwell, we've come to baptism. Phil mentioned something a moment ago that all of those who have seen the evil in their hearts, and what we mean by that is sin, that we are, because we are related to Adam and Eve, we are sinners. Each and every one of us are born in sin, and we have the same need in our sin. It's Christ. We need the Savior. And so, because Christ is a great Savior and He is at work in the hearts of those who see their sin and have cried out to God for forgiveness, He is working and transforming those who've trusted in Him to make them more and more like Christ. And so when someone becomes a Christian, when someone gets saved, are they instantly perfected and there's no more sin in their life? They never sin with their words like we just heard in James again, or they never sin in their actions or their deeds. No, the reality is, though, that Christ, although somewhat invisible, is progressively making them more and more like Christ. That's what He's promised in Philippians 1, that He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. And so we're longing for that day. We're longing to see Christ when He comes again, or when we go to be with Him. And in that day, we will finally be made like Christ once and for all. And so as Jack and Linda come to be baptized, they are coming to do not something magical. You can't see through this wall right here. This is just water. It's just water. But what they are coming to do is to visibly and physically demonstrate that Christ has done something inside of them, that He has worked in their hearts such that they are new creatures in Christ. The scriptures say that in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. The old has passed away. And the new has come. We're new creatures in Christ. In fact, listen to this from Romans chapter 6, speaking of the spiritual connection to what physical baptism demonstrates. It says this: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into a death?" So just as Christ went into the grave, so will they go into water. Demonstrating a spiritual death to sin. And then it says this: "We were buried with Him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that," here's the purpose, "in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So this going into the water and the coming out of the water doesn't do anything to save them. They've already been believing in Christ. They're already obeying and walking with Christ. But here's the thing. In Christ now we walk in newness of life. And this obedience in baptism is saying to you, church, and to the world, that they belong to Christ. And they will walk in newness of life for the rest of their days until Christ brings them to be with Him. So that's what we do in baptism. It's a symbol. It's like a wedding ring. It shows that something has happened and that Christ has worked in their lives. And so we're going to hear from them. I'm going to ask Linda to come now, and she's going to share with you how Christ has worked in her life as the testimony of His grace. Come on down. We got you. There you go, Linda. I'll bring your testimony here. So there you are.
Hello. It was in November of 2018 that I knew I was not fully enjoying my life. I felt depressed. I had severe anxiety. It seemed nothing mattered. There was no hope. I needed something more. I started reading the Bible and talking to other believers. My eldest son is a believer. And we had been visiting one evening when he asked me, "Mom, do you think you're a good person?" Of course I answered, "Yes, I am a good person." He said, "None of us are good people. We are born into sin. I never thought of myself as anything less than a good person." And this really made me think. As a child, my mom or my older siblings took me weekly to Sunday school. We were in the junior choir. I had learned Bible stories. I believed there was a God, and I prayed. So I thought I was good. At the age of 10, my life began to suddenly change. My parents decided to move from our home in Nebraska to California. There were 5 of us kids, but only the 2 youngest moved, my sister Carol and me. From that point on, our family began to crumble. Mom and Dad were divorced within 2 years, and my dad remarried. From that point on, there were multiple moves. My mother turned to alcohol. I lived with several relatives. It was such an uncertain time. I just felt so alone and fearful. Eventually, I went to live with my dad and stepmom in San Luis Obispo. For 3 years, there was some stability until my senior year, when my dad and stepmom divorced and I moved again to my sister's home. As I think back, I can see where people were often there to pull me back to God. In junior high, the school nurse would drive me to school when I had no ride. In high school, I had a best friend who went to a Presbyterian church. Her mom was a single mother, and they took me to church and treated me like family. I can now see that there is no one in my life randomly. Every person in my life was part of God's design. At the end of high school, I knew all I really wanted was a stable family to love me and be loved by me. By 19, I had become a mother and a wife, married to a man who unfortunately abused me for 3 years. That's when I decided never to allow anyone to control me again. I filed for divorce while pregnant with our second child, determined to see us, to keep us all safe, and decided to raise my daughter and son on my own. A year later, Jack and I married, and I became a father, and he became a father to my children. And 2 years later, we had a son together. My firstborn son, Bob, had been talking to me about the Lord for over 20 years. Each time he brought up the subject, I felt uncomfortable. Honestly, I just didn't want anyone to know I was a sinner, so I would avoid the discussion. In 2018, he and his wife, Cindy, invited us over for dinner. Again, the subject of my faith and belief came up. That night, I just felt at the end of my rope. The depression, the anxiety, my hopelessness. I just knew something had to change. I had to stop trying to control every aspect of my life. I was done, and I submitted to Christ. He then asked if I would like to do a Bible study with him. We began to meet weekly, and eventually my husband Jack joined us. I knew I needed to grow in my faith. My son and his wife knew Vicki Murphy had been to Gold Country Baptist, and he thought this was a good teaching church. He suggested I go here. I began attending in 2019. I didn't want a church that matched my own beliefs. I wanted to hear the truth. I was hearing the teaching differently than I had ever heard before. Slowly, I began to understand the gospel that Christ died for me, for my sin. And I had an understanding that I must give up the control I'd been holding so tight to most of my life. I desire to be baptized because I wish to be obedient to God. I was baptized as an infant in the Methodist Church, but that was not my choice. I know now that baptism is not a requirement, but it pleases God. It signifies new births and a new heart. And that is my testimony. I am reborn in Christ, and I have new hope and a new heart. I would like to leave you with this passage from Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8-9.
Excellent. I've got those. Yeah, go ahead and see. Wasn't the gospel good? It's good news. So encouraging to hear how the Lord has worked in your heart, Linda. And praise God for your family who's here and for a faithful son who shared Christ with you. Linda, one of the things you mentioned is that control was a big thing in your life, and the Lord has caused you to realize that He's in control, right? To surrender your life to Him. And so, Linda, is Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life? And have you surrendered control of your life to Him? Amen. Well, Linda, it's based upon your clear profession of faith and the demonstration of God's work in your life that it's a blessing and a joy for me to baptize you. So if you want to You want to plug your nose there and hold your wrist there. It's a blessing to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Come on, Linda. Here we go.
Gotcha. That was my fault. Yeah, Linda. Good job. Go ahead. That was my fault. I had a stool back here that I tripped on. Okay. There we are. All right. Thank you, Linda. Haven't lost one yet. Today won't be the day, Jack. All right, Jack, come on. Come on up, brother.
After serving in Vietnam, I came home and I worked two jobs. I also served in the California National Guard, working nights. I spent most of my time sleeping during the day or doing other things, such as shopping or helping with the kids. I was raised Catholic, attending a Catholic church. As I began attending church with our son and his wife, Bob and Cindy, I read the Bible and listened to the Word of God and realized that I needed this in my life. He helped me in that way to know I was a sinner. I have read the Bible and have embraced what it says about God, and I am a believer. I believe that Christ has transformed me and is now Lord of my life, just like the other believers here at Gold Country Baptist Church. I have turned my life to God. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all my sins. Even though I have found it hard to believe, Christ forgives all my sins. I am thankful to God for sending His Son to die for me for all my sins.
Thanks, brother. It's been a blessing. Cliff and I, probably a year and a half ago, began meeting with Jack and Linda, just talking about the things of the God. Is it 2 years now? The things of God's Word and the Gospel, and to see how the Lord has given you both a desire to know the Word. You've probably read the Bible 7 times through, I don't know, two or three maybe. And so, Jack, it's been a joy to see you even just open up about the difficulty in believing that God could forgive a sinner like you, like me, like us. But the reality is Christ came to die for sinners. And we're all in the same boat in need of His grace, right?
Right.
So, Jack, let me ask you, is Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes.
And will you follow Him all of your days?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jack, it's a joy and a blessing based on your profession of faith and upon the evidence of God's work in your life and your love for Him. And I get to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Grab your arm there, brother. Plug your nose. Good? All right, here we go. Some of you need to be baptized as well. I know it looks like a lot of fun. It is. Some of you have not obeyed Christ in being baptized and demonstrating before the church and before the world that you have trusted in Christ. And so myself or Phil or Cliff or any of the other elders would love to talk with you about obeying Christ in baptism. We're going to pray for Jack and Linda, and they're going to make their way down. And then Phil has some other sweet things to say and do here in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jack and Linda. We thank you that you have done what only you can do. You have made sinners saints. gospel is glorious news, because we who were enemies of you, who did not love you, who did not give you thanks, who did not honor you as our maker, as our Lord, as King, you have reconciled us to yourself through, as Phil mentioned, through a bloody cross, through the blood of your very own Son, who is God Himself, standing in the place of sinners, taking upon Himself the wrath that we deserved. And so we thank you that you've done that, that you are working in their lives, that you're causing them now to walk in newness of life. And we as a church family say, thank you, Lord. We rejoice in what you're doing. Pray that you would use their lives for your glory in their church and in their community and their families' lives, that they would continue to be an example of humility and joy as they walk with you. And may we love them and serve them well as a family. Thank you for what you're doing. And we pray these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen.